If there is architecture, they can look at the way that the building has been changed. So in a house, for example, rooms could be added or knocked down depending on the needs of the household. And so that helps us understand when a particular building, when a particular settlement was in active use. As archaeologists dig down through the strata, they are able to establish a relative chronology. This level is earlier relative to this level. The Germans, as you might recall from the last lecture, were the first to apply this method in Mesopotamia in the early 20th century, and their attention to detail in stratigraphy really allowed the method to be used much more widely. So all of that excavation that occurred between the world wars, where we saw these big excavations of cities, cemeteries, and sites, they used stratigraphic excavation. Mesopotamia is somewhat unique in the study of ancient cultures because instead of digging down from the surface, archaeologists investigate mounds or tells that are created by millennia of occupation. So remember, we discussed southern Mesopotamia is a lowland, a flat plain. So it's not built up over the years as a whole, just the one area of the city is built up. And this creates a mound. Sometimes these mounds are gigantic, and it is impossible to excavate even a small mound completely. So we usually discuss only one section of a village or a city. To give you a sense of some of the size of these tells, it is not unusual for a tell to be 60 feet high, 200 feet in diameter. So you can see that it would take an enormous team in order to get through that level of occupation. If you remember, I discussed these early excavations and how archaeologists were interested in getting to the bottom, preferably to find lands that were mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes they dug into these tells, these very high mounds, so quickly and with such narrow tunnels that the walls of the tunnel would collapse. And there are several unfortunate instances of workers being caught in these collapsed walls. So excavation at this time was a very dangerous prospect as well. Because the fact that tells were representative of cities was recognized very early on, early archaeologists knew where to excavate in a tell, and they often looked for a temple or a palace. We are relatively well informed about the houses of gods and the houses of kings as a result of this, because this is the time when there was there were the funds and there was also the manpower for large-scale excavation. The questions that interest us today, now that we know how the big kahunas lived, are much more focused on daily life. So how or whether a neighborhood in a city was organized. Did all the jewelers of the city of Uruk, for example, live in the same row? Could this be seen as an artisan's quarter? This type of information is either not widely available or has to be pieced together by very scattered evidence that was recorded in passing by the excavators who were working at a site early on. Sometimes it's possible to look at the historical records, and scholars now give this old material new analysis. So there's still much to be learned, even from the notes of the old excavations. We see that archaeologists in Mesopotamia are exploring tells and other sites. What is it that they find? Well, in Mesopotamia, clay is the most common material that archaeologists recover. Although clay can be broken very easily, once it is fired or baked in order to be used to make a pot, for example, it is very difficult to destroy completely. So we find broken pieces of pottery scattered throughout the Near East. Pottery is probably the most abundant artifact type that is found in an excavation. And we will see that it can be used for many different purposes. It can be used to prepare food, to store it, to eat from. Sometimes these eating vessels, eating and drinking vessels, accompanied the dead to the afterlife so that they could continue feasting after they were dead.